Father, bless these words to our hearts. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Leviticus chapter 6. Starting in verse 9, the Word of God says, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garments, and his linen breeches shall he put on his flesh. And take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on the other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereupon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar." In the Old Testament, the system of offerings was given to teach people about Christ. The truths of the scriptures were reflected in these offerings pertaining to things like salvation and holiness and pertaining to a life with God. It says, this is the law of the burnt offering, because the burning of it upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Has it ever struck you as odd that the fire of the altar burns in the altar and not on it? Why is this? Because this is telling us what the fire actually is. The fire of the altar is the Holy Spirit in the believer. What is the altar? The altar is the believer. Now, in Exodus 38, in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And he made the altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, 5 cubits the breadth thereof. It was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof on the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with brass." Now, this is really telling us what the altar is and our relationship to the altar. The fact that it was made of shittim wood tells us in Old Testament typology that it's talking about the believer. Wood refers to us, the believers. And it was to be 5 square. That's talking about, it's 5 is the number of grace. It's the believer operating in grace. And it was 3 high. And that is the number of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, of the Godhead, of the fullness of the activity of God in the believer's life. That means that by grace, the believer is elevated, and the elevated believer is the altar of the burnt offering. So this is really a picture of us when the Old Testament describes the burnt offerings. They are a beautiful depiction of how God sees the believer. And he sees our lives as a grace offering to him that has the Holy Spirit burning in it. See, what happens there? Because the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it, and the priest shall put on his linen garment. Who is the priest? We are the priest. We are priests and we are kings. And we put on a linen garment. And linen speaks of finished work, of no effort. No effort in the flesh whatsoever. And garment speaks of a lifestyle. And so we are priests and kings unto God, elevated by grace, with the Holy Spirit burning in us, and we live in a finished work mentality where there is no effort, no natural endeavor, no natural effort, no natural understanding, no natural trying for righteousness. We are simply priests and kings. And what is it that went up in the burnt offering? The meat was burnt and God would smell the aroma. And in 2 Corinthians 2:15, we are an aroma. We are a savor in the nose, in the nostrils of God, an aroma to Him. Why? Our lives are an altar. You see, that cross that is in our life, that's not a difficult thing. That's a hopeful thing. The cross in my life is the very thing that makes my life an offering to God. And the Holy Spirit burns in me. That means He brings me upon the altar. The altar was not burned. The offering was. And our lives are regulated and ruled by the Holy Spirit. And it becomes an aroma to God. He breathes. Hey, have you ever gone? And this is kind of maybe a little bit of a silly example, but I think it's effective. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and you got bacon frying and it smells in the whole house and you say, oh my goodness, that's an amazing smell. Have you ever had that experience? We are the bacon of God. You like that? We are that aroma. And God says, that is an amazing aroma. As the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning within the life of a believer that is oriented to grace, living in the finished work, elevated by God. And in Exodus 29:12, the Word of God says, and you shall take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns and the altar of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. The horns of the altar speak of strength or power in the believer's life. And it is partly by the blood. But not only by the blood. There is another thing on the horns. But first, there is the blood of the altar. And that blood is what gives me power in my life. Because the thing that robs me of power in my life is the separation from God. And the blood removes that separation. And so the blood is the foundation for the believer's power as he lives with God. So by the blood of Christ, I have boldness to come to the throne of grace. By the blood of Christ, I know, I have a full and confident expectation that as He said, so it shall be for my life. And I know because the promises of God and the prayers of God and the faithfulness of God and the mercy of God and the gentleness and the goodness of God and all the things that are of God are brought to me by the blood of Christ. You see, the blood was the purchase price that purchased me back so that I could be seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God, at a throne, on a throne, on His right hand, on a throne. And those that sit on the throne are extraordinarily powerful people. And it was brought to me by the blood of Christ. And so they put the blood of Christ on the horns. In Exodus 38:1, and He made an altar of burnt offering of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length and 5 cubits the breadth. It was 4 square and 3 cubits high. Surrounded by grace. Grace on every side. That's what it's saying. It is grace on every side. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what I go through, no matter what I initiate, what I cause, what is done to me through other sources, no matter what it is grace on every side. Nothing can come to me other than coming through grace first. Do you understand that, by the way? Nothing can happen to you if it hasn't gone through grace. Why? Because you're in Christ. And grace is His government. So if you are in Christ and grace is His government, how do you remove Christ from His government? He is the head of it. And you are in Him. Nothing can come to you that grace has not allowed. But it was a terrible thing. Grace allowed it. Why? Because whatever it is, somehow or another, by God's mystical plan, it's going to end up being for your benefit in the end. How is it going to end up for my benefit? By faith. It's grace through faith, not of yourself, and that's how your deliverance comes. In Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Guys, the real tabernacle that's being described here is not the place where Moses was. When the tabernacle went away, God did not. When the temple was built, the tabernacle was no longer there and the glory of God was in the temple. But the temple went away and God did not. Why? Because in truth, the temple and the tabernacle never went away. We are the tabernacle. Your body is a temple of God. We are that tabernacle. And that is not made with hands. That is made by God, of God, for God, through God, for you. And so we have this rich fellowship and oneness with God because we are in the tabernacle. And we are covered in blood, and that blood is the very source of our strength. In Leviticus 10 and verse 12, and Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. Take that offering and make sure there is no leaven in it. Make sure there is no corrupt edge to the life that you have that would destroy the offering that is of God. Isn't this the very thing that happened to Cain? He brought an offering, but it was leavened. He bought an offering that was not an offering where there was fire within the altar and linen garments upon him. He brought an offering that was leaven. It was the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of natural production of what his hands could do in the ground. But it was not an offering that was acceptable to God. The only life that is acceptable to God is a life that is created by the finished work of Christ. Do you understand that? The only life that is acceptable to God is the life that is created by the finished work. So I don't care how religious you might be. It's pointless. Because only on the basis of that finished work, only on the basis of blood on the horns, only on the basis of fire in the altar, only then do I have a life that is right before God. And you shall eat it in the holy place. It nourishes you. It nourishes you. And it brings you to a holy place. Because it is thy due and thy sons do of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire. For so I am commanded. And the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall ye eat in a clean place. thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee. For they be thy due, and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings, made by fire of fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be thine and thy sons with thee, by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded. The fire of fat. The offering was made by the fire of fat. Do you know what that means? Do you know what fat is? Fat is stored nourishment. By the word that nourishes you, stored in your heart, that is how your offering is made. This is why the fire burns in the altar. Because it's the burning is by the word that has been stored. As we have the word of God stored in our hearts, the Holy Spirit burns in our hearts. Apart from that word, there is no burning of the Holy Spirit. Apart from that word, it is not possible for me to operate in the finished work. Apart from that word, it's not possible for me to enter that clean place. Do you understand? The horns of the altar were overlaid with brass. Do you know why? For the very same reason that it was a brazen serpent. You see, brass was what they replaced gold with. Right? When the shields in the temple that were gold were stolen, they made brass shields. Why? Because they looked like the gold shields. But they were not the gold shields. Now what it's saying here, and the reason why the horns were made of brass is because they looked like the gold that was used elsewhere, like overlaying the ark. But it was not the gold. That meant to show that the actual physical offering could never substitute for the tabernacle not made with hands. The altar that was there, the real altar, was the altar of the Holy Spirit within a man's heart. It was not that which was produced by hands. Only when I have that close intimacy with God is there a burning in the altar. The burning in the altar is light. The burning of the altar is what energizes me. The burning of the altar is why I have a life with God. How many times do we neglect the burning of the altar? In other words, what is it that's precious? Is it the burning of the altar? What is it that's precious to you? Is it an intimate life with God? Or is it something that you can't possibly hold on to? And even if you manage to hold on to it for 50 years, you're going to lose it in the end. What is it that's precious to you? Burning of the altar, folks. And when I have that, then the offering of Christ, that offering of Christ is the offering that is on the altar that I am. And we eat that in a clean place. See, this is the whole idea here. In Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 12, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp. This is after the offering was made, and there, this is the ashes. How do they deal with the ashes? You shall carry it forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. It's outside of worldliness. It's outside of that which is natural. It's in the clean place. What is that really saying? You see, have you ever wondered why he gives you beauty for ashes and where the ashes come from? The ashes are that which you took away from me and burned. The ashes are that which the Holy Spirit dealt with in my life. The ashes are that which the Word of God through the cross, as initiated by the Holy Spirit, removes from my life. It burns it away. And in place of those ashes, He gives me beauty. And the very ashes themselves, He even takes those to a clean place. So the very things that were impure in my life are made to be pure. The very mistakes that I have had in my life, I'm cleansed from them. The sin that was in me has been removed. And though, as Isaiah said in chapter 1, and though my sins were as scarlet, yet I am now as driven snow. And whatever it was brought to a clean place. And my life is clean. Hey, let me ask you something. In the depths of your heart, isn't it important to know? Or perhaps wouldn't you like to know, one or the other, that you're clean? How many of us feel soiled by the world and we put on a facade that says, no, I'm tough, no, I'm this, and in our heart of hearts on the inside we say, I wish I was clean. The blood of Christ does that. It makes you clean. And it doesn't really matter what it is that happened. When you turn to the Savior, He makes you clean.